Hannah's prayers. I've got three things I want you to take away with you today. One, her pain. Secondly, her present. And third one, her praise. Her pain, her present, her praise. First of all, Hannah's pain. Hannah had a husband called Elkanah. Now, he really, really loved her. But she couldn't have children. But the complication was that there was another wife too, Peninnah. And Peninnah had lots of children. So Hannah had a terrible, terrible anguish, terrible pain. She just couldn't have children. And what's more, Peninnah rubbed it in. Peninnah rubbed it in. People can rub things in, can't they? People can rub things in. People can be kind, or there's a little bit of competition, a little bit of jealousy, an odd comment. I wonder whether you could guess what Peninnah would say to Hannah. You couldn't ever have a child. She would rub it in. And we have here in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 6, it said, "And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her." She's doing it on purpose. Provoking her. Hey, listen. It's difficult enough having two ladies in the kitchen. Isn't it? Yeah? Hands up those who would like to have two ladies in their kitchen. Terrible thought. Listen, not only two ladies in the kitchen, but they're bickering the whole time. Just imagine, going out to work, coming back home, two ladies in the kitchen, bickering. Do you want to come home from work? You'd probably stay out. Listen, it could work the other way round. But here we've got a situation where you've got one husband, two wives. God never designed it that way. He never designed it that way. All sorts of those Old Testament people thought, I could do with an extra wife or two, or some of them, lots more than that. But here we've got Elkanah with two wives, and I guess he paid for it. I don't know how it worked out. The thing is that it's different nowadays. It is different. Yeah, now if one wife doesn't work, you just chuck them out, start again with another. It's terrible, isn't it? But there, actually, they were useful. All sorts of things to do while Elkanah put his feet up with his earplugs in. Listen, it wasn't a nice situation. But Hannah was distraught. Can you feel her pain? Month after month after month, hope dashed. Can you imagine? Some of you have been through this. Terrible pain. Terrible, terrible pain. And what does it do for Hannah? It drives her to her knees. Listen, when we have pain, pain can do one of two things. It can drive us towards God, or it can drive us away from God. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. Can't avoid it. In this world, you will have trouble. Sometimes trouble comes from our own sin. Sometimes trouble comes from other people's sin. Here we see trouble came because God had closed her womb. Listen, if you're right in trouble at the moment, and lots of you are in trouble in all sorts of ways, you put on a nice face, but actually, deep down, you are in trouble. Let me ask you this question. Is God trying to get your ear? Is he trying to get you to listen? For Hannah, that's what it was about. God was trying to get her attention. All right, this isn't a treatise on pain and suffering. I'm just talking about what there is here in the scripture. If you're in pain and trouble right now, is God speaking to you? Someone may have pain at work. Got pain at work. Is it your fault? Is it someone else's fault? Maybe, like Hannah, you just cannot conceive. Listen, God hears prayers. God hears and answers. Maybe you've been looking around and you can't just see Mr. Wright or Mrs. Wright. You're in agony. You're in pain about it. God, who was able to give Abraham and Sarah children when they were past it, is able to give you a husband, to give you a wife. I want you to hear that this morning. God wants someone here this morning to hear that. God has got just Mr. Wright, Mrs. Wright, all lined up. Don't be silly and try the alternatives. Maybe you're just being bullied. You're just being bullied. Is that your pain? Day after day, you're bullied. Is that your pain? Maybe you've got a problem because you can't manage your money. There's too much month, not enough money. Listen, God delights to answer prayer. And we see Hannah in her pain. She is so distraught that Eli, the high priest, says, "You wicked woman, you are already drunk. Get out of here. The temple's not a place for drunk people." She was so distraught, she prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. It was probably the same words over and over and over again. "God, give me a child. Give me a child. Give me a child. I'm not going to leave here until you give me a child. Give me a child." For you, it might be, "Give me a husband. Give me a husband, Lord. Give me a husband. Give me a wife." "Save me from these bullies." Do you know, God loves to answer prayer. And it's as if he has got the prayer already in his hand, and like a grown-up, an uncle or an aunt, or the money's there, and they're just waiting for the child to sort of take the fingers, open the hand, and help themselves to the answer. Prayer, that's what prayer is. It's sort of opening God's hand. It's not that he's reluctant to give, but he's wanting something out of us. He was wanting something out of Hannah. He was wanting something. You might think it's cruel. God so loved Hannah that he was prepared to take her through this journey, like he's taking you through a journey to make you into that really lovely thing. Hannah's present. That was Hannah's pain. Hannah's present. So, God answers Hannah's prayer. She has a child. She calls him Samuel. And she says, sort of, she'd promised. And that's what dedication is about, is bringing to God what he has given. You parents, get from Dave a copy of what you have promised today. Get a copy, hard copy, stick it in your Bible, so that you remember what you have undertaken to do. Get a copy out to the godparents as well. They have agreed to that. Do you know, it's such a massive thing when we come to dedicate our children. Because we're giving them over to God. We're saying, "Here you are, God. Here you are. Here you are. Do what you like. Here you are. I'm giving them to you." See, in that culture, lots of those different people, they used to offer their children, but they did it on a fire. Terrible thing. Listen, in dedication, you are offering your child to God. You're saying, "Here you are, Lord, I am giving them over to you. You're going to bring them up so that God can use them." Yeah, you are just partnering with God. From now on, they're no longer yours. You are partnering with God. you're saying, I'm getting them ready. You've got life work for them to do. I'll do my very best to get them ready. That's what you're doing today. It's a massive thing. A massive, massive thing. So here we've got Hannah. She has Samuel. And she then, when he's weaned, whatever that means, I don't think it's 2 years old in this case, but she brings him back to the temple and presents Samuel to the temple. She says, here you are. Here you are. Here you are. He says, so now I give him to the Lord for his whole life. He shall be given over to the Lord. Do you know, this is an amazing thing. It wasn't as though Hannah had heaps and heaps and heaps of children and she just picked one and gave that. She gave her only son. Does that ring a bell? She gave her only son. Hey, prophetically, and we'll see in the prayer, in the other prayer, the prophetic nature of this woman. She says, here you are. Here you are. It wouldn't have been like that had she'd had a child earlier. It wouldn't have been like that. And listen, you have brought your children today, and you've presented them to God. You've presented them. Say, here you are, Lord God. Here you are. Don't hold on to one of their ankles. Hey, let go. You've handed over. Handed over. She gave her very best gift. Can you think of anything else? She could have given an animal. She could have given all sorts of things. She came from a rich family. Now, I'll keep Samuel for another few years, and in the meantime, make do with this goat. No. Listen, is that how we give to God? What's your giving like? What's your giving like? Reluctant? God loves a cheerful giver. She gave her very best. The only thing that really mattered to her, she gave it. Listen, I want to ask some of you, what are you holding on to that you've already promised to God? I'll do it next month, perhaps. What are you holding on to? Can I ask you a question? No one's going to say no. Can you outgive God? What a silly thought. Can we outgive God? We can't. You can't outgive God. He gives and he gives and he gives. Jesus said, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down and running over. If you give meanly, I'll give you meanly. I've just put that in as explanation. That's not in the Bible. He says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure. Luke 6, verse 38, if you're looking for a reference. Good measure, running over. That's how God gives. Listen, we don't give £10 because we are hoping for £100 back. We give because he's given us so, so much. And he may, and often does, give us £100 back. But we can't outgive him. Somehow, Hannah knew this. She thought, here you are. I can remember the day when my son David was baptized here. And I turned to a friend and I said, I can go to heaven now. I've done my bit. He said, no, you've got still more to do. But bringing your child to God is the most wonderful thing you can do. You've just started. Yeah, and I've got a word for the godparents. These first few years are going to be easy in your praying. When it comes to teenage years, you're going to have to pray hard. Teenagers are a great joy and a great pain. They're a great joy and a lot of grief. I guess some of you still give your parents grief. But actually, you're a great joy to them. You're a great joy to them. Hannah knew how to give. She knew how to give. Church, we need to know how to give. And the third thing I want to talk to you about this morning is about Hannah's praise. Hannah's praise. You see, her giving had sort of set her free. Her giving had set her free. Pain binds us up, pulls us down. But actually, we can be set free. We can be set free. Okay? Pain, we need to go to our God. We need to go on our knees. We need to pray and pray and pray and pray. Pray until he hears you. One of my sons was not able to have children. And his wife and my wife got together on a Monday to fast and to pray. And I can remember the day when we were in the Canaries and my wife had been swimming across the bay and she came back and she said, it's done. God has answered. God has answered. Listen, we need to be those that press through in prayer. because it leads us eventually to this point that we need to look at Hannah's praise in chapter 2 of 1 Samuel. It starts like this. And just a word about Hebrew. In Hebrew, words don't rhyme. So they can't, when they build poems, get the words at the end of the line to sort of rhyme. So often they wrote poems like this poem is written, where there is a statement made and then it's then followed up by a parallel statement or something that says something completely contradictory. And that's how the beauty of their language worked. And it starts off, my heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My strength is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. Have you ever prayed like that? Or is it, Lord, I need a parking space. God hears. I need a parking space. But listen, do you see, Hannah's been set free. She says, my heart rejoices in the Lord. Hey, I'm overwhelmed with you, God. I'm overwhelmed with you. I delight in your deliverance. There's no one holy like the Lord. There's no one besides you. There's no rock like our God. Folk, let's raise the standard of our praying. Let's pray like some of these Old Testament saints. There is no one besides you, she says. There's no rock like our God. There's nowhere where I can stand like I can stand on you, Lord. Do not keep talking so proudly or let your mouth speak such arrogance, for the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. Do you know that about God? She's saying, hey, this is what I've learned, this is what I know, this is what my God is like. The bows of the warriors are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for food. She's talking about the rich. But those who were hungry hunger no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children, but she who has had many sons pines away. I don't think at this stage she had 7 children. But she's saying, hey, the barren, like me, can shout for joy. But she who has had many sons pines away. Listen, she's talking about what God has done in her. She's, oh, a prayer of dedication. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. The Lord brings death and makes alive. Was she talking about Jesus? He brings down to the grave and raises up. Yes, there were other people who were raised from the dead. But is there, in just the way she is singing this song, praying this prayer, a prophetic edge in it? It tells us again about Jesus. You see that? He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. Again, here we are. She's talking in human terms, and yet she's talking in spiritual terms. He raises the poor from the dust, lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. That's what Jesus has done for us. He's taken us out of the ash heap. Has he taken you out of the ash heap? Have you said, Lord Jesus, I too want to sit with princes? He's gathered us to sit with princes. He's made us princes. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. Upon them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked will be silenced in darkness. Sometimes we go through life and we think, oh God, why are the wicked doing so well? Why are the wicked doing so well? Temporarily, they may be doing so well. Temporarily, but only temporarily. Not in terms of eternity. Not in terms of eternity. It's not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. This is different, isn't it? This is different from when she didn't have Samuel. This is different. She's saying, hey, he will thunder against them from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. Hey, judgment day isn't going to be a complete picnic. I sometimes hope, pray, Lord, bring forward judgment day. And I think of some of my relatives, some of my friends, and I think, Lord, give them a bit more time. And she finishes by saying, he will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Again, just sort of prophetically talking about Jesus. He will give strength to his king. The amount of strength that Jesus needed in this week, years ago. Today, Palm Sunday, isn't it? People were on top of the world. Hey, as he was coming in on that donkey, coming into Jerusalem. And then he went through a most awful week. A most awful week. And he did it for you and for me. He laid down his life for you and for me. He said, I'll pay what you owe. I'll pay what you owe. Isn't that great? I'll pay what you owe. I'll take what you deserve. you deserve death, but I'll take it. And here, years before, Hannah is probably not aware what she's saying, but she's talking about the anointed. She's talking about the King of Kings. In the moment, the band are going to lead us in a song of worship, praise. But during that time, when we're singing, there may be something really that God has touched you about this morning that you want someone to pray with you. Maybe it's about one of those pains that I was trying to describe. Maybe it's that you've been hanging on to something that you've promised God and you've been reluctant to give him. You've sort of tried to hide it away, etc. And you need to just repent. You need to say, yeah, I will fulfill what I have promised. It may be that you would just like to be able to pray better. Lord God, thank you for being with us. Thank you for speaking to us. And Lord God, we ask for your blessing, for your strength, for your courage. Lord, that we might, like Hannah, give and be set free by you. Amen.